Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I really want you to hear Bridget Gabrielle's amazing story. You know, we've had Bridget on our program before in VFN TV, but we've never had her share her testimony the way she shared it when she was in Lebanon as a young girl. And I mean, her parents had to live in hiding, Steve, and they thought that someone was going to come and rescue them, and nobody came until the very end. But I want you to hear her very own words and what that was like to live under that type of trauma, because we're going to be sharing some news about about John Kerry, the Secretary of State, and how he just designated that what ISIS is doing to the Christians in the Middle East is genocide, and there are huge implications as a result of that. But I want you to watch Bridget Gabrielle as she shares this story.
I was born into Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. People don't know that. We were open-minded. We were fair. We were tolerant. We were multicultural. We prided ourselves in our multiculturalism. We had a great economy. Lebanon was Paris of the Middle East, the banking capital of the Middle East. So by the time I was born, my parents, my father was a real estate. He owned a lot of real estate. He had retired. We had a restaurant. And we lived a good life. I had a chauffeur to drive me to school. I went to private school. It was an amazing life in Lebanon then.
Here she was, this little girl, an answer to mom and dad's prayer.
Yeah.
And bombs then started dropping on your lovely home, the restaurant your daddy owned.
Yeah. Well, you know, our life changed. You know, Lebanon was the ideal picture of multiculturalism. It was Paris of the Middle East, you know, because we opened our border to everybody who wanted to come to Lebanon because we wanted to share with them the westernization which we had created in the heart of the Middle East. Mm. Muslims used to send their children to our country to get educated because we had built the best universities in the Middle East. They graduated and worked in our economy. So it was an amazing time in Lebanon. And fortunately, all that began to change as the Muslims became the majority and we became the minority, simply because of the way they multiply. I mean, we started our country as majority Christian, over 67% Christians.
Wow.
But the Muslims marry multiple wives and they have many children. While we Christians, you know, got married, you know, one woman for life. We have maybe 3-4 children by a stretch. From the time our kids are born, we start thinking what school we're going to send them to, what college we're going to send them to. The Muslims, on the other hand, have many children from multiple wives. And you know, they have 10 kids. And when you look at the end of the day, the population changed so fast, and it only took 20, 30 years. So by the 60s, when I was born into Lebanon, Lebanon became majority Muslim. The problem was contained until the influx of the Palestinians out of Jordan in the early 70s into Lebanon. And Lebanon was the only country to accept the third wave of Palestinian refugees, even though their brethren, their Muslim brethren, did not want to accept them. But we, being Christians and being, you know, we want to help the underdog and do unto others what you want others to do unto you, and we take care of everybody. Once they came to Lebanon, they put their heads together with the Muslims in Lebanon and declared war on the Christians. And actually, the beginning of what they called the civil war in Lebanon started at a church when a Muslim radical, a Palestinian, walked into a church service on a Sunday morning and started shooting at worshipers. 4 people killed and about 100 injured. And that was the beginning of the all-out Lebanese war. And while people would call it, oh, it's the civil war in Lebanon, the war in Lebanon was not just between, you know, Lebanese Christians and Lebanese Muslims fighting each other. Mm-hmm. The war in Lebanon was the start of Islamists rising worldwide, coming to help the Palestinians in Lebanon, help Yasser Arafat create a base from which to fight Israel, kill the Jews, and throw them into the sea. And he was able to use Lebanese democracy, Lebanese open-mindedness, Lebanese fairness to topple our democracy. And that's how my world changed. They bombed my home in 1975. We were the last 2 Christian towns left in South Lebanon as the Muslims began advancing into the country and literally taking over military bases. I lived underneath a military base, the last military base not to be taken over by the Muslims. And so they were trying to bomb the military base, trying to take it over. And that's when the bombs fell short and ended up landing in my home. And that's when my life turned upside down. And that's how I ended up wounded, and I ended up living in a bomb shelter. We ended up living in a bomb shelter after I left the hospital with my parents. But my home, we went back home, but my home was no longer the home I left. My home was destroyed. We ended up living in a bomb shelter underground in an 8x10 room without electricity, without water, and very little food. We would walk under the bombs and dig out different dandelions and different vegetation that grew around our bomb shelter because it was the only greenery we had to eat. In order to get some water, we would crawl under snipers' bullets because we were surrounded by Muslim snipers shooting at us. And we would crawl under snipers' bullets to a nearby spring to get some water. And every time we left the bomb shelter, my mother and I would say our last goodbyes because we did not know if we're going to come back alive or dead, just to get a drink of water. We lived in the mountains, so it was cold in the wintertime. It would snow. It was freezing, and we didn't have any heat. And my father would walk out and break out the twigs from the trees around our bomb shelter. And we would light a fire in the bomb shelter, and my father would pour kerosene or benzene or on the bomb shelter, on the fire, and light the fire. And many nights we would huddle around the fire to warm up. And because we did not have any ventilation, we only had the door entry into the bomb shelter. Many nights we would pass out because of carbon monoxide poisoning, and we had an agreement, because there were three of us, my mother, my father, and I, that whoever woke up first would drag the other two outside and slap them on the face to wake up, because many nights we would pass out because of carbon monoxide poisoning. This became my existence. And I remember at the age of 13 years old, sitting in the bomb shelter. And we got a tip from our Christian militias who were protecting us at the time. And this is after 3 years. And after 3 years, we would listen to the news. My father would listen to the news on the radio, on a little, little transit radio on batteries, just to hear what's happening around us. And my father would say, America's going to come help the Christians. All the big Christian countries are going to wake up and see what's happening to the Christians in Lebanon, and they're going to come help the Christians. Britain is going to come help the Christians. France is going to come. Australia is going to come. And we waited and we waited, and nobody came. And when we went into our bomb shelter in the beginning, it was actually a storage room for my father's restaurant. That's where my father stored all the liquor and all the big boxes of whatever he ordered to the restaurant. And I remember for the first week, we slept in a cardboard box that my mother put a blanket over because we thought, oh, it's only going to be a few days. And then, of course, all these big nations are going to wake up and see the slaughter that's happening to the Christians. And of course, 2 weeks went by, 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 2 years went by, and we realized the world forgot about us. Maybe the world watched what was happening and the massacres, because the Muslims would surround the Christians. Remember, the whole war started at a church, when a Muslim walked into and started shooting on a Sunday morning service at a church. And so the Muslims started surrounding Christian towns and slaughtering them. And, they would walk into a bomb shelter. They would find a mother and a father hiding with a baby in a bomb shelter. They would take the baby, tie one leg of the baby to the mother and another leg to the father, and pull the parents apart, splitting the child in half.
Oh my God.
They would walk into our churches. They would urinate and defecate on the altar using the Bible as toilet paper and then torch our churches. And then, look what happened at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Remember the siege in Bethlehem?
Yes.
What was it, 10 years ago when the Palestinians walked in and they just basically desecrated the church? We didn't hear any blurb out of the Vatican. We didn't hear anybody complain. Here was the birth of Christ. And this is how they treated it. They had no respect for anything holy, especially if it had to do with us. It was amazing. I remember at the age of 13, sitting in the bomb shelter because one of our Christian militia stopped by and he said, Brigitte, I just want you to know that tonight they're going to launch an attack against us. We heard a lot of chatter on the radio. And he said, if I don't see you tomorrow, I wish you a merciful death. And he left. And I remember sitting in my bomb shelter sobbing, begging my mother, I don't want to die. I'm only 13 years old. And I ended up dressing in my Sunday best, my Easter dress, because I wanted to look pretty when I am dead, knowing that when they come to slaughter me, there would be no one to bury me. And I remember sobbing, begging my mother, please, I don't want to die. Do something. And there was nothing she could say to me. And I remember her combing my long black hair, and she tied the white ribbon in my hair that matched the white daisies in my dress. Mm-hmm. And we sat in the corner of the shelter, and my father opened up the Bible and started reading from Psalm. I shall walk into the valley of death and fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say there are no atheists in foxholes. We ended up, my parents said to me that night, they said, when they come to slaughter us, we will create a distraction. We just want you to run towards Israel and never look back. Because you see, we lived on the border with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I did not have to make that decision that night. Because that's the night when Israel came in physically into Lebanon and set up artillery bases around our town to protect us. And that's how we survived. And that's how
it's a miracle. Is that not a miracle?
What an amazing, amazing story of the deliverance of God. You know, I've been to Israel and I've been to that that border right there. It's Matula. I've been at that border and it's like a stone's throw away. And to know that God used Israel to come in and rescue them. And thank God for Bridget Gabrielle and her story and for the organization that she founded, Act for America. But could this be a prophecy? Could this be a prophetic sign of what could await America? Think about what she said, that Lebanon was a thriving country, opened its borders and allowed Muslims and everyone to come. There was many Christians that were there, but just by sheer multiplication, which is a strategy of the jihadists. And she says that they married multiple wives, had multiple children, and between a 20 and 30 year period, They had a majority. They had more Muslims than they had Christians, which wouldn't have been a problem, but it was in the 1970s that Lebanon, being a nice country, saying, hey, let's just take in these refugees, these Palestinian refugees, even though Muslim countries didn't want to take them. Almost what is happening now, where all these countries in Europe are taking all these people from Syria, these refugees from Syria, and yet Saudi Arabia is not bringing anybody in. It's like, what's going on? Is this a strategy? And what happened is that the Palestinians got together with the Muslims and they realized, listen, we can attack the Christians. And they went to an all-out war from, I believe, 1975 to 1990 and literally tore Lebanon apart. Could this happen to America? Because we have lax borders, because we just want to bring anyone into our country that doesn't want to be an American? It's part of being an American. When you come to America, you're saying, I'm leaving my country. You're swearing an oath to be an American citizen and to follow the laws of the land. Angela Merkel, who is over Germany right now, she said this about maybe 5-6 years ago, that in the next 20 years, Germany will exist to be a German nation, that all the Muslims that are moving into Europe will pretty much be a majority. Listen, we have to get back to what matters here, you know, and that is a safe and secure border and making sure that we take care of all the Christians that are being persecuted.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.